Yo, what's up? We're back, and this week we're here yet again to break down another UFC fight card. This week it's Jessica Ai versus Cynthia Calvillo in the main event. Kind of a crazy, I don't know, a weird main event. Not a greatest fight, but a decent card overall. There's some fights that I do like, some fights that, you know, aren't the greatest. But like always, make sure you drop a comment down. Tell me who you're betting on. Tell me what you think of my picks once you hear them. And, you know, make sure to drop a like down there as well. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't, and yeah, thanks everyone for watching. But the first fight of the night, it is a fight of two guys that are newcomers to the UFC, Anthony Ivey and Christian Aguilera. Obviously, if that name Anthony Ivey sounds a little familiar to you, it's because he was scheduled or almost scheduled to fight last week against Gerald Meerschaert. He stepped up a couple days notice. That fight ended up not happening, but due to him stepping up last week, the UFC's given him a fight on the card the following week. And Ivy, you know, he would have been taking the fight on short notice, up a weight class against a UFC veteran, so this fight is a much better opportunity for him to show off his skills. He's going to be fighting at 170, his natural weight class, against another newcomer who is taking the fight on relatively short notice as well. So better chance for Ivy here to get the victory. He's going to be facing Christian Aguilera, who is 13-6. And I will say, Ivy has improved a lot. He's a tough guy. He has good cardio. He's tricky on the feet, but, you know, I don't know about him on the feet. He's not that great. He does have decent movement. He's tall. He's long. He'll throw some jabs, some straight punches out there. Decent left hook. He throws it kind of off rhythm. He likes to come forward with multi-punch combinations. It makes him dangerous on the feet because he does throw a lot of full power shots, but he's really doing that just to back fighters up, put him on the ground. He has decent front kicks up the middle. He has a solid high kick. He will hide it behind punches. He's an athletic guy. He's good at when he gets fighters' backs against the cage. He'll throw in combination, fake level changes, throw some power shots, has good dirty boxing. He reaches a lot on the feet, though, and in exchanges, especially in this fight, I think he's going to be outgunned. He's very hittable. He's been rocked in fights. Very tough, great cardio, which does help him survive, recover quickly, and he has five finishes with strikes himself. He's getting more confident on the feet as he's continuing through his career, and he is a grappler, though. That's what he's looking to do in the cage. He wants to back guys up, shoot that double leg, get him to the mat. He can't shoot from way too far out, and he can be very easy to counter as well. His takedowns against the cage are good, you know, but he doesn't have the greatest top control. He can wrestle all day, and just that pace, that pressure, the constant takedown attempts do break some guys. But as fights progress, he does get a little bit better at controlling, you know, taking the back, that wrestle ride position, working from there. Good ground and pound, and he does kind of look a little bit weak in the tie-ups at times, and he can be put on his back himself. He will look for some submissions off his back. Decent knee bar, decent arm bars, decent guard, but if he passes guard, he can be controlled very easily. I could see Aguilera ragdolling him for three rounds. I really could. Ivy does have four submissions. He has been submitted two times. His cardio is top-notch, and he's likely going to be the tougher guy in there. So he's going to want to, you know, survive a storm most likely, and then, you know, prove his cardio and win in the later rounds. But Christian Aguilera, he's an exciting regional scene veteran, finally getting that jump up on the big stage. And he's coming out of Team Oyama, which is a strong gym. They've had success lately. And Aguilera, he's been getting a highlight reel knockout since he went pro in 2013. He's a killer be killed fighter. He has 9 first-round KOs and 13 wins. He has been finishing the first 4 times himself. Usually his fights are over in round one, or they go to decision. Only one of Aguilera's fights have been finished after the first round. And I would say he's all right. He has much more experience. He's fought the better competition, obviously. He's fought in better promotions. He's headlined LFA shows. And he's a wrestle boxer. On the feet, he does have one-shot knockout power. Decent jab, good forward pressure, good short hooks. He will counter with hooks, uppercuts. Comes out very hard and just tries to overwhelm and finish guys early with his power, with his explosiveness. He does throw some naked kicks that get him countered, get him take him down. He could struggle moving backwards, and he's kind of a defensive liability. He relies on his chin, his power too much. He can get stuck throwing one shot at a time. But when fighters, you know, push him backwards and throw in combination, he can, catch that counter as well, but he's hittable, Questionable chin. He's been KO'd 4 times, and he has 10 knockouts though. So obviously you have to respect his power in there. And he's a powerhouse though. You can tell in the grappling. He likes to mix it up, especially once it gets past the first round. Good timing on his doubles. Decent takedowns against the cage. He's a grinder. He likes to get to half guard, side control, sit in dominant position, ride opponents out. When they do try to stand up, he is okay at holding them down in the front headlock, wrestling ride position, mat returning them. Decent back takes. He isn't a submission threat though. Doesn't have any submissions in his career. Can be a little bit sloppy when he's trying to pass, get swept. He also can be taken down himself. And he slows down a little bit in the later rounds. Off his back, I've also seen him dominated a couple times, so not great off his back. He has decent get-ups against the cage, but against good ground fighters who can pass his guard, I think he's going to be in a lot of trouble. He did win his last fight by grinding out kind of a wrestling-heavy decision, and he's never been submitted, so I think that is going to be tested against Ivy if this fight goes to the mat. But Aguilera is a fighter who can be winning the whole fight, make a mistake, and lose. Overall, he's a good athlete, big for the division, big KO power, solid grappling, good cardio. He's a good fighter. It's just small lapses in concentration, slight errors that get him finished against the higher level. Looking at this fight, I'm gonna go with Aguilera. I think on the feet, he's more composed, more power. He's more comfortable striking. I think he's more explosive. I do think he has a chance to turn Ivy's lights out in the first round. I also think he's the stronger wrestler. He has the better top game. Ivy, I don't see him getting a submission off his back. He needs to grapple hard, try to gas out Aguilera. But if Aguilera can get takedowns and control on top, how I think he kind of can, he shouldn't gas too hard. Looking at the resumes, like I said, Aguilera fighting at a better gym. He has more experience. He's main event in multiple LFA shows. His record looks salty, but he's tested himself much more than Ivy has. I just think Aguilera will be able to win round one pretty easily, and I think he could bag a second round and even a third with wrestling. If he gets tired, Ivy's just to put it on him in the third round. I do think he has the toughness to survive, so I'm gonna go with Aguilera here. He's the dog. I think these guys, obviously, I think the line should be a little bit closer, so I'm gonna take Aguilera as the +160 underdog here. Up next here, we have an interesting fight. It is a rematch. Jordan Griffin taking on Derek Minner. These guys did rematch pretty recently, actually. It was before they came to the UFC, but I believe it was like 2017. And Jordan Griffin, he did pick up that first UFC win the last time he came out there. He did lose 2 decisions in a row, but got a nice guillotine in February, so he's 1-2 now in the UFC. He was on his way to losing that fight as well. He found the finish, closed the show, and that's kind of how he beat Derek Minner. It was similar fashion. Derek Minner was dominating the fight, and Jordan Griffin found a submission, finished it off, and got the victory. And Derek Minner, he's making his return. He suffered a setback in his debut in the UFC. He started hot, but he was ultimately submitted by Grant Dawson in the second round. And Minner, if he can't get the finish in the first round, he's usually loses. He's 20 of his 24 wins are first round finishes, and he's kill or be killed. In 35 fights, he's conned a decision 2 times. So I mean, that shows you kind of his fighting style. If he doesn't get the finish in the first round, he's usually gonna get finished himself. To me, this fight's pretty self-explanatory. Minner's gonna be able to take Griffin down at will. Nothing I've seen on tape has made me think that Griffin has improved his takedown defense enough to close that gap that Minner had in the first fight. He actually has good ability to take the back, control, good setups for takedowns. And on the ground, he has good setups for leg locks, arm bars, rear nakeds. His guillotine is nasty. So Minner, he's a dangerous guy. If we can get a performance out of Minner here with him just get him to dominate position, not chase the finish, take the back, control. He would cruise to an easy decision, most likely. Unfortunately, I can't see that happening as it never has. You can't bank on someone doing something they've never done before, even in a rematch. Griffin is a guy who's always losing until he's winning the fights, pulls off submissions. The only difference here is Griffin, you know, has the heart, he has the cardio to survive, take a beating, or survive a tough submission, tough position, and that's all he needs here. If he can survive the first round storm, I think he's going to find a finish again somewhere in the later two rounds. And there's a reason, there's no reason to believe either guy is going to fight differently. I just think Griffin is going to be losing until he's winning, and then he's going to get a second or third round finish. So I'm going to go with Jordan Griffin to get the victory in this one. Up next here, we have a fight that I totally want to stay away from betting-wise. No interest in this fight. It is a decent little scrap here, though. Ryan Benoit, he did suffer a setback in his return to the octagon late last year, but it was a good performance. Looked fast, looked sharp, but lost a split decision. And he's going to be fighting Tyson Nam, who's a winless guy in the UFC, so this is probably a loser-leaves-town fight here for both guys. Tyson Nam, 0-3. He's getting outstruck in these fights, and at 36 years old, his better days are behind him, but he's still game. Watching Ryan Benoit last fight, I will say he looked amazing in the first round. Very fast, threw nice tight punching combos, really nasty rear leg kicks. He was landing that beautiful body kick, and Benoit slowed down a lot in the second and the third round. He was hit with some huge shots, got out grappled in the third round. Did kind of rally late, hurt Alatang with some big shots near the end of the fight, so got to give him some credit there, but his cardio wasn't where it needed to be. Benoit has pretty good forward pressure, pretty good wrestling, decent get-ups. He's working with some high-level jiu-jitsu guys, and you know, he's a pretty skilled guy overall, but you know, I don't know, it's something about his mentality. He can't put it all together at times. His opponent, Tyson Nam, he's really been disappointing. Doesn't throw enough volume. He lets a lot of weak jabs go. Doesn't throw power punches as much. And when he does, they just come one at a time. Pretty obvious. And he does have good takedown defense. He doesn't have takedowns. I don't see him being able to get the fight to the mat. Does have better cardio. Good forward pressure. And the thing is, I mean, if he could just continue to pressure Benoit, get him a little tired, he could maybe find that one shot, close the show. But if he doesn't, I think he's going to get out volume by the sharper, quicker guy. I'm actually going to go with Benoit to win, man. Not sure this fight, you know, could suck. But tough fight to call. I'm going to go with Ryan Benoit. And up next here, we have a match between Julia Avila versus Gina Mazzani. Gina Mazzani is stepping up here on short notice here. And Avila, second UFC appearance, she had a good debut. She won that dominant decision against Patty Kizziad, and she looks like a good prospect. She is essentially undefeated. Her one loss came due to a hand injury. And Gina Mazzani, she did get cut late last year, got a win, is back at the UFC now. She's jumping on short notice here, big underdog. And she's just a tough and rugged chick, but she's not very good. And when I watch this fight, it's hard for me to see Betty pass the victory for Gina Mazzani. Mazzani is a girl who likes to clinch, use her physicality to bulldoze girls. She'll get clinch takedowns, ball opponents to the clinch, work them to the mat. Her striking is wild. It's not very good. She'll throw a lot of kicks, sloppy punches, super hittable. And Avila is a better striker. Good straight punches, good jab, power in her punches. She'll close the distance with nice combinations, good hooks inside. And she can be explosive also. She landed a nasty overhand right that rocked Kizziad, dropped her. And she'll mix in some uppercuts, some body shots. She'll throw some nice leg kicks and really nice front kicks to the body, to the head. And she's a jacked girl, man. I just don't see her getting outworked or outmuscled in the clinch. The way I see this fight going is early on, Gina's going to go very hard looking for the clinch. I think she's going to get tired, get knocked out. I don't think Gina can last three rounds with Avila, especially on short notice. Gina's been finishing two of her three losses. I think Avila's going to get it done here inside the distance. Up next here, we have a two featherweights fighting at lightweight here, Kevin Aguilar, Charles Rosa. Kevin Aguilar, he has his back against the wall here. He's lost back-to-back fights. His granite chin was finally cracked his last fight when he got knocked out by Zubair Tugov. So he might be a little bit tentative here. We have to see. Charles Rosa, he's looking to get back on the horse. He had that terrible performance just a little under a month ago. He got dominated from pillar to post by Bryce Mitchell, put in some very bad positions on the ground, kind of got twisted up a little bit, got hit with some big shots. And he probably wants to get that bad taste out of his mouth. But to me, this is kind of an easy fight for Aguilar. Rose on the feet just doesn't do it for me. He does throw a lot of volume. He switches stances, throws a lot of kicks, a lot of low kicks, front kicks up the middle, round kicks, head kicks, uses a lot of spins. He just doesn't look like he has much power on the shots. He always gets backed up near the fence. He gets walked down, tries to use a lot of movement, tries to touch and move. He's just kind of like a death by a thousand cuts type of fighter. In a small cage, I just don't think that style is going to work well. Rosa isn't the greatest offensive wrestler since he's returned from his neck injury. He hasn't looked good when guys have clinched up with him. He's been ragdolled, it seems like. Rosa took a lot of punches in his fight with Manny Bermudez, a lot of decent shots. He got dominated on the mat when he fought Bryce Mitchell. Kevin Aguilar, he's a fighter who has good forward pressure, good hooks, big power, good straight punches as well, good chin, cuts the cage off well, good low kicks. And I just feel like if Aguilar gets inside, forces Rosa to exchange, he's going to have a huge advantage in the boxing. Rosa is very hittable. I don't think Rosa is going to be able to get takedowns. I don't think Aguilar is going to play that game, even if Rosa tries to pull guard, if he really tries to get it to the mat at all costs. I just think Aguilar is going to, you know, be smarter than that, keep it on the feet. Aguilar's fought guys that have a similar style but much more dangerous, like this karate striking style like Tan Lee, and he knocked him out cold, man. So I just feel like in the smaller cage, Rosa just fought. He can't be 100% coming back from that 1 month ago. I think Kevin Aguilar is going to catch him and take him out, man. In the small cage, I think it even gives him a more chance to take him out. He doesn't have to cut weight. They're going to be big in there. I got Kevin Aguilar by knockout. And up next here, we do have a fun fight. We got Maria Agapova taking on Hannah Cyphers. Pretty excited for this one. If you guys haven't seen my interview with Maria Agapova yet, make sure to check that one out. It is on my channel. And she's set to make her UFC debut, her return to Las Vegas. Unfortunately, she was unsuccessful in her first fight at the Apex on the Contender Series, but she's a chance of redemption here. She showed major improvements in her last two fights. She's moved to the United States. She's training at American Top Team now. I feel like she has a lot of potential. She's coming off of back-to-back first-round finishes. She's a finisher, and she loves the fight. You could tell she's in her element in there. The first thing you notice when you watch Agapova's Invicta fights in comparison to the fight on the Dana White Contender Series is the muscle she's put on. She's filled out a lot. She's much stronger. She has a great frame for the division. She's 5'8", long reach. But also, now she's packed in the size. She's filled out. She's getting a little less choppy with her footwork. She's cleaner with her in-and-out movement. Better head movement, better defense. And she's a really nice 1-2. Good jab, good overhand right. Getting better with her hands. She's throwing straighter, less loopy strikes. She'll throw a lot of kicks, nice low kicks, good front kicks, side kicks to the body. Super heavy round kicks. Her body kicks, her rear leg round kicks to the body are vicious, man. And she'll throw some naked kicks sometimes that can be countered. She can be a little bit wild. She'll throw Superman punches, Superman elbows. Very open with her striking. And she's getting harder to hit, but she's still willing to engage in brawls. And her last fight was a high-paced, high-level fight. She exchanged some wild hooks with Mirla Santos, who's another power hitter. I mean, we've seen Mirla Chocolate drop Weili Zhang. And Agapova, you know, she fights with no fear in there, man. She lets it all go. Great forward pressure, a lot of volume. When she hurts an opponent, she'll swarm and finish. She has a great chin, willing to eat shots. She's a fun fighter to watch. She's finished three fights by strikes. And she's improving as a grappler as well. In the Contender Series, she was taken down, grinded out. Since then, she's gone to a good camp in America Top Team, been training with coaches like King Mo, training partners like Jillian Robertson, and she's gotten a lot better with her grappling. She's not an active seeker of the takedown, but she's getting better with her defensive grappling, getting better in the clinch, digging underhooks, circling out, getting better defending takedowns. She can be controlled in the clinch a bit, and she sometimes can struggle to dig underhooks, but like I said, she is getting better at that. It she has been taken down in the past as well. Off her back, she will attack arm bars, she'll attack triangles. But when she fought Tracy Cortez, she was not able to stand up effectively. She continuously gave up her back. Cortez was able to take the back, keep her on the mat. She did show heart, and she was able to finally get up in the third round. She went for it a little bit. But in Agapova's last match, her opponent pulled guard, and she's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and she made a big mistake there because on top, Agapova is nasty, man. I mean, she rained down some big hammer fists, big punches, heavy elbows, and finished off Marilla Santos with a barrage of heavy shots. She did get threatened with a couple arm bars, but postured out of them pretty easily. And Marilla Chocolate is a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, so she isn't a slouch on the mat. Agapova, she did have a really nice back take against Alexa Connors. She jumped on her back from standing after she hurt her with some body kicks, choked her out. When she can get the back, she's good at finishing. She has 3 submissions. She has finished 6 of her 8 wins. And she's very dangerous in the first round, 5 first round finishes. But her cardio is very good, and she's there to fight, man. I mean, if there's some adversity, she's willing to fight through it. And Hannah Cypher's making the quicker turn. She had the loss to Mackenzie Dern a couple weeks ago, and Cypher, she got finished with the leg lock. She's one of the smallest girls in the UFC. Now she's moving up to 125, taking on a huge flyweight. And man, I mean, watching this fight, got to go with Agapova all day. She's going to be the much bigger fighter. She's going to have an 8-inch reach advantage. Cypher's game is usually all predicated in countering with straight shots before she gets inside, throws hooks. I don't see her being able to counter with the 8-inch reach advantage disadvantage. Agapova has nasty body kicks. I think they're going to be readily available for her here in this fight. Agapova throws straight punches. I think she's going to be tagging Cypher's. I think Cypher's won't be able to find her range. We've seen as well, Cypher's is deficient with her ground defense. She got destroyed by Angela Hill. Hill kind of elbowed a head through her, elbowed a hole through her face. And, you know, Cypher didn't show good technique, no mount escape. She got finished quickly. In her last match, she once again showed poor fight IQ, poor technique, got submitted again. I don't see Hannah surviving 3 rounds with Maria. Maria will land a big body kick, swarm, take her out by submission, ground and pound, standing TKO. I just think she's too good, too big. I think she's going to take out Hannah Cypher's. So I'm going to go with Maria Agapova to get the victory. Up next to a fight I'm not going to spend too much time on. Jordan Espinoza taking on Mark De La Rosa. They're going to be fighting at 135, or I believe 135. And Espinoza, he's lost 2 in a row. He did get the win in his debut in the UFC, but he's 1-2 now. I think this is probably a loser leaves town match. You know, Mark De La Rosa, he's lost 3 in a row, 2-4 in the UFC. He got knocked out very badly in his last fight. And, man, I mean, this is a tough fight for me to call because I do believe that when you look at the athleticism of these two guys, Jordan Espinoza is the way better athlete. I believe he has the better wrestling as well. I think he hits harder. He's much faster. And he's probably going to be able to touch and move on Mark De La Rosa pretty effectively. He has a good jab, decent straights, good power as well. And he can always go back to that wrestling, get the takedowns, I believe, if he really needs to. And for Mark De La Rosa, it's going to be about the forward pressure. I would say he has the better boxing. He has decent hooks. He'll throw punches in combination, punches and bunches inside. Has decent wrestling himself, decent jiu-jitsu. I don't believe he's going to be able to take down a guy like Jordan Espinoza, but maybe he'll be able to threaten him off his back, hit a sweep, hit a submission. Espinoza was submitted with that arm triangle pretty quickly in his last fight. I don't really think Espinoza has the greatest jiu-jitsu, and maybe De La Rosa will be able to exploit that and pick up a victory here. On the feet, I do think it's close because I think over 3 rounds, I think that De La Rosa is the better cardio. He may wear on Espinoza with this forward pressure and with the constant volume. But the fact of the matter is, man, I feel more comfortable picking Jordan Espinoza. I'm going to side with the better athlete. I'm going to side with the guy that I think is a little bit quicker, hits a little bit harder, has the advantages in the wrestling. Even though I think De La Rosa could cook him, get a decision victory, get a late finish, I'm going with Jordan Espinoza to get a decision win on Mark De La Rosa. And I'm next to have one of the best fights on the card, Andre Feely, Charles Jourdain. And man, I mean, when I first saw this line, I thought potentially this line could be off. I thought maybe Andre Feely is a little bit too big of a favorite. Obviously, we're used to seeing Andre Feely coming in as an underdog in a lot of fights, and now he's over a 2-to-1 favorite. So when you see that, automatically, you know, your eyes go up. You want to look at it a little bit, and especially with Charles Jourdain cashing as a +300 underdog in his last fight. We actually predicted that over here, so hopefully you guys hit on that against Duhu Choi. And that was a good matchup for him. But when you look at this fight, I kind of, after watching the tape, I watched a lot of fights on both of these guys. I kind of agree with the line here. Charles Jourdain, very flashy, very wild on the feet, a lot of spins, a lot of aerial attacks, flying attacks. He throws a lot of shots from far out. He can close a lot of distance, throws very big power shots. I mean, he's winging punches at all times. He'll literally run at you with a combination, no fear in there. So he's dangerous at all times. I mean, you can never be lax at the end of a round. You know, after right after a wrestling exchange, right after a grappling exchange, you have to be turned on. You have to be sharp because Jordino will take advantage of that and hit you with a crazy attack that you don't see coming from halfway across the cage. And the other thing that makes Jourdain, you know, a little bit rare in that sense with that type of style is the fact that he has the cardio to keep that up for 3 rounds and actually, you know, picks it up as the fight goes on, which we saw that really help him in his last fight because he got hurt very badly multiple times in the first and second round, but was able to show his durability, his recoverability, his cardio, and eventually found the big shot that put out Duhu Choi in a wild fight. I mean, that fight was awesome, man. He battled through a lot of adversity, but when you see his striking, he can't come up short with a lot of shots because he's trying to, you know, close that distance too far out. Very wild. Doesn't really look like he has any kind of structure with what he's trying to do there. And he's open to be hit with counters, open to be hit to the body, and he could be taken down very easily. Doesn't have good takedown defense at all. I mean, we've seen that in the UFC, in his fights with lower level guys on the regional scene, even in a fight with Damian Laplace in 2019, who's a guy who's 16 and 12. He was getting taken down. He was getting his back taken. That fight was questionable going into the fifth round before he got the finish. So, you know, that just shows that Jourdain is getting a lot better. He's only 24 years old. He's improving every time he's out there, but still has a lot of holes to fill on the ground. He's very easy to take down in the clinch, very easy to take down with body locks, with double legs, with single legs. Throws a lot of crazy strikes, like I said, jumping attacks, kicks. So it's easy to get taken down off that as well. Feely's actually very good at catching kicks, bringing fights to the mat. Also has an excellent double leg. And on the ground, Charles Jourdain does look like he has a decent, tricky guard. But once you pass his guard, he gives his back to stand up, can be controlled on the mat. And I think Andre Feely, on the feet even, I think he's a little bit sharper with the counters. I mean, man, Feely's an excellent counter puncher. He's excellent in the storm. He sees shots coming, just counters with brilliant straight shots down the pocket. I mean, we saw that against Shaymin Rice. We even saw that against Sadiq Yusuff when they exchanged. He put Sadiq Yusuff to a knee. And Feely has lightning quick hands. He can follow up with head kicks very quickly that you don't see coming. He hides them behind punches. And I think he's the sharper, straighter puncher. I think that Jourdain is going to be coming in real hard, and obviously Jourdain has a chance to knock his block off, but I think Feely's counters are going to give Jourdain pause to cause. I think that he may, you know, get clipped at the counter, get dropped, get taken out as well. And I also think even if Jourdain is having success striking on the feet, Feely has that other element to hit that double leg, use that to take the back. We saw him do that against Sadiq Yusuff multiple times, and I don't think Jourdain is the athletic physical freak that Yusuff is to just stand up, has the strength of an ox. I mean, Jourdain, he's a different type of athlete. He isn't the type of athlete that Yusuff is in that power horse, you know, power horse type of way. So, you know, I'm thinking Andre Feely is going to be able to get the victory here, whether it's a finish, whether it's a decision. I think he's a little bit better on the feet, even. I think he has a big advantage on the mat. Big advantage in the wrestling, even if he can't control Jourdain, the fact that if he does mix it up, take him down 4 or 5 times, that'll break his rhythm. I think Feely obviously has a lot of experience against higher level guys. He still has that desire, that hunger to be the best in the world. I think he's even said he feels like he's the best in the world even now. That fight with Yusuf was very close, so, you know, can't take anything away from him. I'm going to go with Andre Feely here. I just think he's too big of a veteran, too good. Good test for him here against Charles Jourdain, good young upstart. If Jourdain can get the victory over Feely, he's going to be a serious contender, I believe, but I'm going to go with Andre Feely. And up next here, we got Merab taking on Ray Borg. Obviously, Ray Borg's coming back real quick after that loss to Ricky Simone. And man, I mean, if you guys watch my channel, you know I'm really high on Merab Dvalishvili. I've been picking him in almost every single fight in the UFC. We've been betting on him, putting him in the parlays. And that's not going to change here, man. I think this is a really favorable matchup for Merab. Ray Borg, I mean, we just saw him get out-wrestled by Ricky Simone, a common opponent to Merab, who Merab was able to out-wrestle very easily. And we've seen Merab fight guys like Casey Kenney, who also defeated Ray Borg with the grappling-heavy game plan. And Merab just demoralized Casey Kenney. The thing with Ray Borg, I mean, he does have very fast, very quick hands. We finally saw him show it off in his last fight against Ricky Simone. And landed some really nice, clean shots on his chin. Merab has to be a little bit careful, but Merab is a guy that doesn't really entertain the striking. Uses a lot of spins, flying attacks, crazy techniques to close that distance, get on those legs, get the fight to the mat. And when he does, man, even if you get stand back up, he has a hold of you, a mat return, you dominate you, demoralize you. And I don't see that changing here. I mean, we saw Aljamain Sterling go in there last week, dominate Corey Sandhagen. He's the main training partner from Rob, bringing all that good energy into this fight. I don't like Ray Borg at 135 pounds. I just think that he's a little bit too small. And I think even if this is at 125, I think Rob just, his wrestling, his pressure, his pace is too good. I don't think Ray Borg is going to be able to keep him off him. I think Merab's going to do it to a lot of guys, but I think Merab is going to take down Ray Borg at will over and over and over and over again like he does. Get another 5-10 takedowns in the fight, dominate, and cruise to an easy decision victory. So I think Merab is one of my most confident picks on the card, probably going to be one of the most confident picks for a lot of guys this week. And I think Merab gets it done easily in this one, probably wins 30-26. Maybe even 30-25 on the scorecards. And up next here, the co-main event, Baby K taking on Marvin Vettori. Obviously, I feel like I broke this fight down a few times now. And we've seen they made it all the way to the weigh-in day last time, where the following day, Marvin and Carl got into it at the hotel. So there's a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of a beef to this fight now. And you know, I think it's a pretty close fight. I don't agree with the line. I don't think Marvin should be that big of a favorite. But Robert said he's 4-1 at middleweight in the UFC. Vettori 4-2-1. On the feet, I definitely favor Roberson. Marvin, he's a good striker, but doesn't really have good power. Vettori is a pressure guy, stays in your face, a lot of volume. Good jab, good right hook. He'll double, triple up on punches. Isn't a power striker. But he does, you know, drain guys with volume, super durable. But I don't know, against a guy like Carl, I think he kind of lacks the technique and power to hang on the feet. He doesn't check low kicks either, which are one of Roberson's main specialties. That's kind of where I think that Roberson's going to have success if he does. If Carl can land some low calf kicks, Marvin could be in for a long night. But Marvin is a much better grappler, good body locks. Occasionally, he'll shoot it on the legs. And when Vettori gets the fight to the ground, he's very good with submissions. I feel that's where he needs to be in this fight. Good ground and pound, good rear naked chokes, good guillotine. He has a bat off his back either. He's hard to hold down. If he wants to win this fight, I think he needs to push a heavy, wrestling, grinding pace and try to wear on Roberson, get him in a bad position and finish him. Roberson, he cuts the cage off well, very fast hands. Good jab, good straight punch counters, low kicks, good chin. And I think that he's going to try to walk down Vettori, work the legs, body, then go up to the head. And he needs to avoid the grappling here. He sometimes can invite a grappling fight, get in the clinch, go for takedowns of his own. His grappling isn't bad, but against a guy like Vettori, he needs to stay away from that. He was submitted twice in the UFC. Against a guy like Wellington Turman, he was almost submitted as well, who I kind of think is kind of similar to Vettori in a way. I think both guys are going to have good cardio to go for three rounds, and I just think it's going to be who's going to implement their game better. I'm going to go with Vittori to win a decision, so I think it's a closer fight than the line indicates, but I think Vittori is going to win, so I'm going to go with Marvin Vittori to get it done. And I'm next for the main event, Jessica Ai taking on Cynthia Calvillo, who's making the move up to 125 after that big weight miss her last fight. And I don't know if people forgot, but Jessica Ai also came off a big weight miss her last fight, weighing 131 pounds. And Jessica Ai is a girl that's fought at 135 pounds. She's going to be much, much bigger than Cynthia in there. She's taller. She's going to have the reach advantage, bigger frame. And I think she has an easy path to victory. I think she has a much better boxing. I think that if she just keeps it hands only, uses forward pressure, makes Cynthia uncomfortable with the striking on the feet with the hands, she's going to win the fight. I think that she's just a little bit better. I think that if she throws some sloppy kicks, if she, you know, engages in the clinch, if she tries to go to the ground, that's where Cynthia is going to have the advantage. But Cynthia, her boxing to me is just not on the level of a girl like Jessica Ai. She's been outstruck by girls like Carla Esparza on the feet with the boxing. She has been able to outstrike girls like JoJo Calderwood, Courtney Casey, who've come to 125, had success. But I'm not sure. I just think Jessica Ai is a little bit better with the hands than those girls as well. And I think that Cynthia is going to struggle to get it to the mat, especially with the size disadvantage. She already isn't the greatest wrestler. We saw in her last fight, I mean, she did show a lot of heart. She got destroyed in the first two rounds, hurt very badly, multiple occasions. That third round, she turned up, got it to the mat, almost finished it. So, she's going to have her chances here. If she can get it to the ground, she's going to maybe be able to get a submission, pull off a finish. But, if it stays on the feet, I favor I. Neither of these girls has ever fought five rounds. But I kind of feel like I is going to have the cardio advantage because she's used to fighting up at that weight class. It's the first time Cynthia is going to have that, coming up to that weight. And Cynthia is going to be the one that's going to have to push the takedowns in this fight if she wants to win. So I think that Jessica is going to have the less cardiovascular game plan. She's not going to blow as much energy to win necessarily that Cynthia does. Cynthia could get her down in the first round, get a submission, make it look easy. She's very good on the ground. I mean, if she can take your back, good rear naked choke. But Jessica's no slouch on the mat either. I don't know if she's just going to be able to take her down and sub her that easily. And so because of that, man, I got to go with the number one contender in the flyweight division. I don't think Cynthia's going to be able to come up here and just take that spot from Jessica Ai. I think Jessica Ai should get the victory here. I mean, it's never a sure thing with these type of fights, especially with a girl like Jessica Ai. But definitely think she should get the win. I think she's been fighting and defeating better competition. I mean, obviously, it's arguable with Marina Rodriguez is a very good fighter that Cynthia fought last time. But girls like Botelho, things like that, I don't think they're on the level. Courtney Casey of like the Arojos, the Joanne Calderwoods. Kayla Chookagian. So I think I's been fighting the higher level competition. I think I is hungry. I think she's going to get it done here. So I'm going to go with Jessica Ai to get the win. Just better boxing, size difference. But so for the most confident pick of the week, I'm going to say, I'm going to say Andre Feely because he's not as big of a favorite as like the Julia Avila's and the Marabs, even though I do have more confidence in those people. And for the parlay of the week, for this week, I'm going to say to do a parlay with Marab Divalishvili, Julia Avila, and Kevin Aguilar. That is a plus money parlay. It's three people, but I like the parlay. I think all three are going to win. I don't see a lot of passive victory for their opponents. So that's a parlay that I like this week. Once again, Marab, Julia Avila, and Kevin Aguilar. So put that one in if you have confidence in that one as well. If you don't, tell me what bets you're putting on, what you think, why you disagree with my picks. And thanks for watching, guys. Like I said earlier in the video, make sure to drop a like, put a comment down, subscribe if you're not subscribed to the channel. Check out that Maria Agapova interview. And if you want to support the channel, I do have packages on MMA Odds Breakers available, full card picks for betting. I'm feeling pretty good this week. I think we're going to win. So if you want to jump on that train as well, that would be very helpful. It just helps the show, makes it get better. We're going to put all that money back into the YouTube channel. So thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for supporting. Let's try to get to 10,000 subs by the end of the year. You guys are awesome. And let's make this money on this card.